It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where are the rookies landing this year? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today by Derek Brown and Andrew Erickson, both of Fantasy Pros fame. Guys, thank you for coming on. We are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We are going to jump right into the show. No preamble at the top. None of this, hey, how's your weekend? How you doing? Been a while. We're jumping right in. We're talking about landing spots for the rookies today. And we're going to run through sort of the places we see guys landing, most likely where we'd like to see them land, fantasy impact, all that. We are going to very quickly, though, just touch on, because I know D-Bro would be mad if I didn't mention this, Jalen Hurts getting the bag, 5 years, $255 million, $179 million in guarantees, highest played player ever. D-Bro, we don't have a lot of time, but I will give you a short moment here to talk about Hurts.
Jalen Hurts got the bag, baby!
Let's go, man. You love to see it. And I was telling Erickson before we went live, if he was only a quarterback, he would have gotten 300 mil. You hate to see it. I mean, really, this is the day that Hurt stands like myself are just going to have to bow down and just be held captive to the moment and the fact that he's just not as good as I hoped he'd be.
I was thinking about doing a bit where I set you up by pretending that you actually have hated Hurts all along, but I thought you might actually get mad and walk off the set of the show.
I would have walked off.
If I even joked about that. So I decided to be genuine. Erickson, what did you make of Hurts getting the bag?
I mean, just what happens when you're a good quarterback. You get paid and Lamar Jackson, come on. Like, we got to figure out a way to get this guy paid. Hopefully Lamar's up next, even though it'll probably be Burrow or Herbert, and the league will just continue to hate Lamar, and I don't get it. I love Lamar. I'll pay him. I'll give him some of my salary. Like, will that work out? Who knows?
Yeah, I didn't love that everybody immediately turned this into, man, the Ravens just still can't figure out the Lamar thing. It's so easy. Copy, paste this contract, just give it to Lamar, which, by the way, I would happily do. Let's jump in. D-Bro is at D-Bro underscore FFB on Twitter. Erickson is at Andrew Erickson underscore. I am at Ryan Wormley, no underscore for me. Let's jump into predicting some of these rookie landing spots. Like I said, which team has the best chance of drafting a player, why it would be a great fit, and maybe some quick potential fantasy implications if we see that matchup happen. We are going to start, as everybody usually does, with the quarterbacks. We are going to start with my favorite quarterback in this class, CJ Stroud. D-Bro, I know he is also your favorite quarterback in the class. Where do you see him landing?
My favorite guy, I think Indy is going to trade up one spot and go and get their guy. That's assuming we're hearing a lot of buzz that Houston might move back. They're not going to take a quarterback. Indy's still live to go into the two spot. So I think that they're going to move up at least one spot, go get their guy. I mean, look, the Colts have needed a long-term answer to the quarterback position. That's nothing new. I'm not expressing any new facts to anybody. The part where I think that this makes a ton of sense is Indy has never drafted a starter, had a starter under 6'2", under Chris Ballard. So height does come into this. So maybe if Carolina's trying to pull the wool over her eyes, they don't go Bryce Young. I still think that CJ Stroud is the pick here. And this would be a great fit for Shane Steichen's offense. Massive play action usage. Hurts was 12th and 4th in play action dropbacks over the last 2 years. You're looking at Stroud in 2022, 13th in big time throw rate with play action, 4th in play action passing touchdowns. I don't know if he'd be a QB1 in his rookie season if he lands in Indy, but a strong QB2 with some upside. Yeah, I'd buy into that.
So you said you have the Colts moving up one spot to 3. So you don't think Stroud is going in the top 2 for sure?
I don't think he's going in the top 2, at least as of right now. I think it's more likely that Houston stays and they pick Will Anderson at the moment, or they throw us another curveball. At least that's where my lean is at the moment.
And Erickson, you also don't have Stroud going early. What's your fit for him?
Well, I was trying to figure out like the best type of fit for him. And for me, it's one of the teams that's actually selecting outside the top 5. So in a world universe where Stroud goes from favorite to be number 1 overall to now he's not even the top 5 pick, like this could work out in his benefit if he goes to the Las Vegas Raiders. Because when we're looking at CJ Stroud, he had an elite offensive line. He had elite wide receivers. He may not have any of that if he goes inside the top 5 to the Panthers, the Texans, the Colts. Like, none of those teams can give him that. What can the Raiders give? A decent offensive line and Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfro and Jacoby Meyer. Like, an actual talented group of pass catchers that he can use and take advantage of. And it's a matter of, okay, well, Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starter for till they lose enough games where it's like, all right, let's put CJ Stroud in. So I think from a fantasy perspective, I would love to see Stroud fall. I'd love to see him land on the Las Vegas Raiders. As to where I think he actually will, I think he's going to go to the top 2. I'm not buying this Houston Texans crap that they're not going to take a quarterback in the first 2. Like, that's the one, they need a quarterback so badly. And I can't imagine a world where you have the balls as a GM to be like, you know what, no, we're not going to take a quarterback at 2 because we think we can get one at 12 or trade back up into the, it's like, that's how you lose your job. Like, Nick Casario is entering year 3. And, okay, they draft Will Anderson. Oh, he got a bunch of sacks. Oh, well, you're fired because you only won 5 games. It's like, for me, I'm not buying any of that. They've been connected to a quarterback the entire time. DeMeco Ryans literally told us that there are 2 young quarterbacks that they want to draft at the top of the draft. So it may not be Stroud necessarily. It could be Richardson. It could be Levis, the Texans like. But it's going to be a quarterback for the Houston Texans at 2.
Debra, which of the teams we've mentioned would you be highest on Stroud in a dynasty format if he landed there?
Dear Lord, I do not want him to go to Vegas. I mean, Erickson mentioned all these great points about the players around him, but we still didn't mention that Josh McDaniels is still there. Like, have we seen him develop anybody? And no, you can't count Tom Brady. Tom Brady developed himself, okay?
He pulled up the soil, he planted himself. Let's look at these backup quarterbacks that are all around the league right now that were drafted by the Patriots and McDaniels.
Backups, that's what you're saying,
Starting. They're starting. Jacoby Brissett starting quarterback. Starting.
Go ahead.
Jarrett Stidham, who's now getting, maybe he could be a starter too. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's a starter too. All drafted by the Patriots.
Keep naming them. Jacoby Brissett. Come on,
They're starting quarterbacks.
Erickson, I'm sorry. If Jacoby Brissett and Jarrett Stidham are key pillars of your argument, you might have lost the argument.
Hey, they're in consideration of starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Oh. That's all I'm saying. You can't say that McDaniels can't develop a quarterback. Mac Jones, he's a starting quarterback too.
Guys, this next bit is the most important ad read you will ever hear because it may just make you a millionaire. Let's take a moment to talk about our FFPC Championship. Join FFPC's Fantasy Pros Championship for a chance to win $6 million in total prizes, including a $1 million grand prize. Free Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros subscriptions are up for grabs as well. Sign up now at fantasypros.com/championship. And use promo code FANTASYPROS to save $25 on your entry. Enter before June 1st and draft before June 15th to score an extra $35 early bird credit. In each 12-team league, you'll navigate a 12-week regular season with weekly waivers and lineup decisions, but no trades. The top 2 seeds and each league's playoff champ will advance to the championship round and compete for the $1 million prize during weeks 15 to 17. Don't miss out. Visit fantasypros.com/championship and use promo code FANTASYPROS for $25 off your entry. Happy drafting. By the way, CJ Stroud's FFPC best ball ADP at the moment is 153rd overall. But our next quarterback, Bryce Young, is actually going higher at 137th. D-Bro, what's your landing spot for Young?
I'm just going to go with the chalk answer. I'm going to go Carolina Panthers here. I think that we've heard enough smoke. I think it's real. I do think that the size concerns does still give me a little bit of trepidation in that, like, maybe this is a curveball for Anthony Richardson. But I'm going to give Bryce Young to the Carolina Panthers. And I think this would be a great fit for Frank Reich, or with Frank Reich. I mean, you've had 2020 to 2021, they were ninth and fifth in screen attempts. We're talking about the size issues for Bryce Young. Can he play in the pocket? Yes. Is the size going to be as big of a concern with Reich, who is going to dial up short passes and easy intermediate passes for him in that type of offense? I'd be down for Bryce Young going to Carolina.
And Erickson, you have him going to Houston, which is sort of the other very chalky destination.
Yeah, I think that Houston would be a solid spot for Bryce Young. You have PFF Bobby Slowick coming in from the 49ers, an offense that just caters to the quarterback play, like makes life very easy for a quarterback, getting his ball to playmakers that can make plays after the catch. Now, the Texans don't necessarily have those guys currently on the roster, so I'm hoping they can add in some more pieces to develop whichever quarterback they do take at number two, because they're going to take a quarterback at number two. That's what I think. I don't think they're going to trade back. So with Young there, I think that he can be a comparable quarterback. I think that he's the best quarterback in terms of an actual playing the position, but it's just his size concerns that the reason why he's not the consensus number one overall.
Is he, I mean, he is the quarterback who's like most likely to not slip past two, right? Like, I don't even know what the odds would be of him going outside of the top two, but you know, everybody else, you hear at least sort of the case being made for why they might fall. You're not really hearing that for Bryce, at least beyond two typically, right, Erickson?
No, because I think that the only concern is everybody knows what it is. Like, it's not like, oh, will he fit in our system? Will he be good? Like, we know, he know he's going to be good. It's just a matter of, okay, like, what's his longevity if he is a smaller quarterback? And even, I would even say he kind of even put himself in a different tier from some of these other Alabama quarterbacks, where the issue, and it's actually an argument that you use against Stroud, where it's like, well, he had an elite offensive line, he had elite pass catchers. Whereas that's usually like the argument that was like, knock on Tua, knock on Mac Jones, where Bryce Young doesn't have that because he didn't necessarily have as many weapons as CJ Stroud did last year. You know, you're not talking about these Alabama receivers going in the draft in the first round this year, or offensive linemen. So he actually did more with less around him, I think, last year, which is why I think he's going to be at least one or two no matter what.
Going even higher than both of those guys in FFPC's Anthony Richardson, 134th right now in early best ball ADP on there. D-Bro, where do you have Richardson, who may have as high a ceiling as anybody, of course, with that rushing ability?
Well, I mean, I would like to see Indy here, but I already sent CJ Stroud to Indy, so I'm going to go with Seattle. They have a top five pick. If Anthony Richardson falls outside the top four, nobody trades up for him. I could see him fall down the board just a little bit. And with Seattle, I mean, he would have the ability to sit behind Geno Smith for 1 year. And again, we kind of go back to offensive designs here. Geno Smith was eighth in play action passing attempts last year. And inside of that offense, this would be a hand in glove fit for Anthony Richardson, who was fourth in play action passing grade last season, 13th in play action yards per attempt. So I would love for him to fall this far, sit behind Geno for a year, then take over, and then just sky's the limit.
Given the fact that he has such limited experience starting in college, and the fact that he's considered very raw, I think sometimes unfairly, obviously he does you know, need time to develop, but maybe not as much as people kind of phrase it around Richardson. But considering all that, D-Bro, is he the guy who's among the quarterbacks landing spot is going to be most relevant to you in terms of how you evaluate his future?
In the sense of, I want him to go to a stable coaching staff. Like, I don't want him to go to Vegas, because if McDaniels gets ousted after this year, then you're talking about changeover from OC, head coach, things like that. Pete Carroll, and I mean, as long as he's got a heartbeat, is going to be the coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Like, especially after last year, turning the franchise around, all the things, winning the Russell Wilson trade. That is going to be a stable situation and one that I would love for him to land in. But I mean, hell, I don't think it happens, but you could toss Detroit in there. Same kind of idea.
Okay, so for me, I have him going to the Tennessee Titans. They're the betting favorites. So ahead of the Raiders, Colts, Seahawks, and Carolina Panthers. I mean, you look at Richardson in terms of the betting market, he's the favorite to be the number three overall pick. The Cardinals are picking at number three overall currently. So everyone is kind of, all the signs are pointing to us, there's going to be a trade here that happens. And we look at logistical trade partners with Monty Ossenfort, who is the new general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, you're looking at a team like the Titans, who he came from the last 3 years, and you're looking at teams that have connections to the Patriots, because that's where he spent prior to his time in Tennessee, in New England. So there's obviously, could the Patriots trade up to number three? Yeah, I think that's technically in the range of outcomes. And the same thing with the Raiders, where Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler have a relationship with the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. Again, this is like real life stuff. This is how deals get done. Who do you know? It matters a lot. So those are the three top teams I would look at that would trade up for number three. And it would be Richardson. Like, that's the guy that you want to hit the home run with. That's the guy you trade up for. So for me, it's the Tennessee Titans, because I want to see Anthony Richardson run the ball a ton. They showed some interest in having a mobile quarterback last year when they drafted Malik Willis. It obviously didn't work out, but that's not to say that they're not going to try it again with a better prospect and using higher draft capital. And I just want to see a guy as athletic as Anthony Richardson in the same backfield as a guy as athletic as Derrick Henry at the same time. I just think that'd be crazy to watch. And I think that you'd get a ton of value with Richardson, especially from the rushing upside in Tennessee.
Can we get some workout videos like that? That would be the prime off season of combined workout videos of Anthony Richardson and Derrick Henry doing squats together. Like, oh man, I would be so here for that.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I want to ask you guys before we move on to our last quarterback of the discussion, because Will Levis has sort of fallen to kind of fourth in the pecking order pretty definitively in most eyes. So of the top three, let's set landing spots aside for a second. How are you ranking those three in Dynasty rookie drafts right now? D-Bro, starting with you.
Stroud, Richardson, Young, and then Levis is at four.
And could landing spot change that for you, or that's kind of locked in?
Nope. I'm much lower on Will Levis. Like, I see the intangibles, but...
Erickson,
scary.
What about you on that?
No, I have the same rankings with Stroud, Richardson, Young, and then Levis. I do have Richardson number one, though, in Superflex I have Richardson number one in one quarterback leagues because I can care less about any type of floor a player can offer in a one quarterback league. I'm all ceiling. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if I can only start one quarterback. I want it to be Richardson, whereas Stroud, because he has more of a floor, stability, he'll be a long time starter. There's more value to that in a two quarterback league where he doesn't necessarily need to be breaking the top five every single week versus, oh, well, he's a top 12 quarterback. Like, that's really good and should be valued more in a two quarterback format.
That's a great point. The context of the format you're in is really important, even when ranking within the same position. Let's get to Will Levis. He's going 207th in FFPC right now. D-Bro, you actually have him going to the same spot that Erickson had Richardson going.
Yeah, I've got him going to Tennessee. I just think that if you're looking at the easiest guy to kind of trade up for and them to talk themselves into, and honestly, it also lines up with my comp for him in my quarterback primer, Ryan Tannehill. I think that Tennessee could see the same things I do, rushing upside, but it's not going to be his bag. Strong arm, and also the ability to sit behind Tannehill for a little bit of time. I'm also a big fan of their offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly. What he did with Deshaun Watson was fantastic. I think that Levis would be in line to get some good tutelage from Kelly.
But if you're Tennessee, do you want the next Ryan Tannehill? Not that Tannehill's been a bad quarterback, but he hasn't been good enough to say, like, oh, we got to get the next guy who can do the same thing as him, right?
I mean, it depends on how they feel about Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill now being injured and missing time and things like that. I mean, we don't hear anything out of Tennessee. Like, they just cannot stand Ryan Tannehill. So the younger version with maybe some more upside, I think they'd be down for that.
Ryan Tannehill minus Arthur Smith. I don't know how that appealing that is. Erickson, what do you think about Levis?
For me, I have him going to the Colts. The Colts are the favorite to take him. We've seen reports about them preferring Levis over Richardson. I think they need someone they can start like now. Like, they can't wait around and, okay, yeah, they have Gardner Minshew on the roster, but we know his upside is limited. So why not roll the dice on a guy like Will Levis, who has, like, D-Bro was talking about, like, he has really strong arm, like, he has intangibles. Just last year was just horrible, but he was also injured and he had terrible playmakers around him, where you turn back the tape to 2021 and you're like, oh wow, like, he's really good. So yes, I understand that there was a big fall off this past year, but I mean, it eerily reminds you a lot of Levis. Like, his draft stock kind of going up and down reminds you a lot of, like, Daniel Jones and Justin Herbert, where it's like, yeah, like, we could see the upside, and then it's like, nah, well, he's not that good. And then, you know, he goes up higher than, you know, what the NFL media types of things. It's actually the NFL likes him a lot more than we do as media personnel. So I think Levis, ultimately, I think the Colts are going to just get their guy and maybe not have to trade up at all and just take him at four.
We'll jump into the wide receivers next, but first, let's just take a moment and celebrate the fact that the NFL draft is less than 2 weeks away. For a lot of fans, the NFL draft is basically Christmas, and we are so, so close. You guys can all celebrate with us live at 7 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, April 27th. Fantasy Pros will be covering the entire first round of the 2023 NFL draft live on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. Again, coverage will kick off the entire first round for 7 p.m. Eastern next Thursday, April 27th. Let's get into the wide receivers. Jackson Smith and Jigba, FFPC, currently ADP is 65th overall. Erickson, we'll start with you this time.
Jackson Smith and Jigba to the Houston Texans. They are second in the betting markets, just right behind the Patriots for some reason. You know, everyone's being mocked. Everyone's betting on the Patriots to just draft all of these different types of players. Ugh. They're all in for a rude awakening when they trade back and none of them go to the Patriots. So I like the Texans because of, I mentioned it before, PFF Bobby coming over from the 49ers, yards out to the catch. Like, that's what the offense is predicated on. They don't have that guy right now that can create a lot of yards after the catch, make plays with the ball in his hands. Jackson Smith and Jigba can be that guy. And I think from a fantasy standpoint, he would just be a PPR machine. Like, he'd immediately step in and be the number one target on that offense where you're having other guys on the outside, like a Nico Collins, like a Dalton Schultz, kind of filling this complementary role where JSN is the alpha in a Amon-Ra St. Brown type of mold where he's not necessarily being asked to win on the outside because it's like, we don't need him to do that. Like, have him just dominate out of the slot, rack up 6-7 catches a game and get yards after the catch. So I think Houston, with whichever quarterback they draft at number two, because like I said, they're drafting a quarterback at number two, it will fit well with JSN.
Ebro, I know you love JSN. Where do you see him landing?
I love JSN, but good Lord, all of this Houston talk and all this Nick Caserio stuff so far, all these Patriots ties, like, it's making me want to puke, man. I don't want any of these guys, any skill players near anybody that's been in a Patriots front office. Like, Nick Caserio can't run a good ship. I mean, it's looking kind of like the Titanic outside of the D'Amico Ryan's hire in Houston. Ugh. I don't want him to go there. I'm going to play the long game, baby, and I'm going to send JSN to Seattle. And yes, does this hurt his current FFPC ADP? And would I be lower on him entering an offense with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett? Sure. For this year, yeah, that would bump him down a little bit. He'd be having to earn targets against two alpha-type wide receivers. Not great, but after this season, it'd be wheels up, possibly. I mean, right now, they could cut Tyler Lockett next year, save $9.8 million against the cap. Then you're looking at the long-term answer. It's JSN, DK Metcalf, rocking it for the next few years. And even if they keep Lockett around, he's allowed to age gracefully as a field stretcher, and JSN could take over as the number one target getter in that offense. I want Seattle. I don't want any skill guys going to Houston. No. Shut it down. Well, let them trade back.
How are the Seahawks going to get JSN? Are they going to get him at 20? He's not going to be there.
You don't think he's going to be at 20? So if he doesn't go to Houston, where does he go?
Green Bay. That's okay. One of the other teams.
I have another wide receiver going to Green Bay.
Is he going to get to the Seahawks if he's not there? Are they either got to trade back or trade back up to get him?
Okay, tell me this. After Houston,
realistic landing spots here.
I will point out that our fearless leader, Matthew Friedman, just posted an updated mock draft here, and he has JSN actually going 21st. So he has him outside the top 20, which would mean he would have been available to the Seahawks at 20.
And they passed.
I mean, after Houston, who needs a wide receiver? The Jets? Twice. No. New England? Please, hell no. Green Bay?
They're the favorites to draft him, so just saying.
I do not want that in my life. Not at all.
No, neither do I.
None.
Horrible.
Yeah. Freeman does point out that he is minus 265 at Bet Rivers to be the number one wide receiver selected, but he just has it coming later than most people do. Let's go to another wide receiver, Quentin Johnston. His FFPC ADP right now is 120th. And Debro, might this be the wide receiver that you said you had going to Green Bay?
This could be the dark horse guy to go number one, to be the first wide receiver drafted off the board. And earlier in the offseason, before testing and all these different things, you had Quentin Johnston on the top of a lot of boards. He was getting mocked first as the first receiver off the board. My dark horse landing spot for him is the Green Bay Packers. It's so funny, guys. Like, we're like, oh, the Green Bay Packers need to take a wide receiver. They need to go. Every single mock out there has them going tight end right now. And I'm like, are we staring at the same depth chart? Like, after Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, you have Jeff Cotton, Samari Toure, Bo Melton. These are the
are those real players?
I was gonna say I'm not sure I even recognize two out of the
Ryan
three.
Wormley.
That is so bad, man. And the thing about it is, QJ would be a fantastic fit for how Green Bay runs their offense. It's all rack and yak, baby. You have Green Bay passing offense, and this is also teeing it up to be easier days for Jordan Love. Romeo Doubs didn't even play a full season. Neither did Christian Watson in full-time roles. They were both 18th and 24th in screen targets. Now you're telling me we could airdrop Quentin Johnson into an offense where last year in all of college FBS wide receivers, 50 more targets. He was 8th in yak and 6th in yak per reception. Yeah, give me that smoke all day. Him and Christian Watson just running over the middle and taking him to the house? I'm here for that.
Erickson suggested that maybe I could make the depth chart of the Packers. We know Erickson wouldn't because we saw him attempt to run routes in Dallas on the team.
Oh, my
trip.
God. Ryan going for the throat, baby.
Yes. And just an all-time great video. Jeez. Please go find it on the Fantasy Pros socials. Erickson, you have Quentin Johnson also going to an NFC North team.
Yes, I have him going to the Minnesota Vikings. So they are at the third shortest odds to land Quentin Johnston. Now, and the thing with Johnston, too, is like when I first did my evaluation of him in the beginning, I thought he was kind of like overrated. And now it's kind of like come like so far the other way where now everyone is like, he's overrated. Now I think it's like, well, I kind of think he's like underrated now because I've seen mocks where he doesn't even go in the first round anymore. Now, is he probably going to be the first receiver off the board? Probably not. But again, in this class of very small wide receivers, like there's going to be a team that's like, I want a bigger guy. I don't want another slot receiver. And I think we look at the Minnesota Vikings, they just lost Adam Thielen. They don't really have a tight end of concept, or excuse me, they have TJ Hockenson, but you have Justin Jefferson there as the number one. KJ Osborne is a free agent after this year. So there's another need for another dynamic pass catcher in this offense. I think Quentin Johnston is a nice complement to those other guys who are really going to rule and dominate the inner parts of the field where Johnson can be that big play threat downfield, which is really more what he's been, and take plays after the catch. So he's not this contested catch savant that I saw comparables to. I saw a lot of DeAndre Hopkins. It's like, okay, because he has dreadlocks. Like, is that it? Because he doesn't catch the ball like Hopkins, like whatsoever. But when he gets the ball in his hands, like he runs guys over, which I really like. And something also I noticed when I was doing one of my latest mock drafts is particularly with TCU players, the mock draft industrial complex always undervalues TCU players. And I'm not sure it's because people have just been burned by TCU. You know, Jalen Rager comes to mind, or just kind of that, like, who was that other guy? Dotson. Just like these other TCU players that were just so bad that people are just like, oh, well, it's TCU. It's like gross. So they're going to be bad. Whereas you can't helmet scout. So for me, I think Quentin Johnson's kind of being underrated. And I think if he fell to the Vikings, I think it'd be a really good spot for him.
There's a bunch of receivers in this range. The next one is Jordan Addison, currently 118th in ADP right now. Debra, where do you have him?
Before I get to Addison, I just got to point this out. Minnesota plus 700 for QJ. Green Bay Packers plus 1,500. Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me those odds. But moving on to Addison, man, I want him to go to Buffalo. I think he'd be a perfect complement for this offense. They're picking in the late 20s. I think it's absolutely possible he falls here if he gets past the Giants. And if that's the case, it's wheels up for Addison. I think he is going to be able to play the outside and the boundary. He showed us that in college, played him more on the outside in his final season. Now you're going to team him as possibly the second target behind Stephon Diggs on a Bills offense. Yeah, give me all that.
Erickson for Addison, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, he's not going to be available for the Bills because the Chargers are going to take him because the Chargers need, they haven't really made any moves to add offensive weapons to their team with Justin Herbert. Like Mike Williams, Keenan Allen both got hurt last year, and Josh Palmer is just a guy. Like he's just like a fine, like number three, number four receiver, but he's not a real difference maker. Whereas Addison, I know that we've mocked about him in, you know, his size, and he's not as fast as we thought he was. He plays faster than his 40 time. Like guys fall for all these reasons all the time. And then when they play, it's like, oh wow, he's actually like much faster than he timed. So I think Addison has had 2 years of very, very productive play the last 2 years. And interestingly enough, the wide receiver coach currently for the Los Angeles Chargers recruited Jordan Addison at Pittsburgh. So if there's anybody that has an inkling about Jordan Addison, and it's a guy, again, he's not receiving a ton of buzz because it's all about or like his size, the Chargers are going to be like, this was a spot I was mocking the Chargers all the time. So I think Jordan Addison is going to be a smash spot here for the Chargers.
Debro, I know you never hesitate to tell me when I'm wrong, but tell me if I'm wrong here. Is there a fair comp here between Addison and Bryce Young? Obviously different positions, but just in terms of really productive in college, but the size has been such a concern during this pre-draft process.
Yes. I mean, I think like, look, we need to get over the size stuff. Did Devonta Smith not teach us anything? And the NFL running more zone coverage, these guys are getting more off coverage than they've ever gotten before in the NFL. Yeah, so I'm not worried as much about Addison's size, but I did want to put my hand up here. I would like to change my answer. I would like to go with the Chargers with Erickson.
You convinced him, Erickson.
I would like to capitulate here and move
Let's
to the Bolts. Thank
W's.
You.
Yes.
All right, well, Debra, I'll stick with you here because the last receiver sort of in this range, FFPC, is going 122nd. That's Zay Flowers, and he's a guy that I know you love too.
Oh, I love me some Zay Flowers, my wide receiver two in my dynasty rankings. Look, this landing spot, I mean, Erickson and I are kind of seeing lockstep here. Just different guys fitting the bill here. And it's Zay Flowers going to the Vikings. I think playing opposite Justin Jefferson, Zay Flowers can play the inside, the outside. I think he'd be the number two, or fight TJ Hockenson to beat the number two target in this offense. You're telling me inside of a top 12 pace and passing rate offense, Zay Flowers? Maybe top 24 upside in his rookie season. Don't think that's crazy to say. We've seen Kirk Cousins support multiple pass catchers, multiple wide receivers in multiple seasons. Why not Zay Flowers?
Erickson, where do you have Flowers going?
Seattle Seahawks. So very similar to the JSN to Seattle. It's kind of all for the same reasons where you could see him taking over the number two role alongside DK Metcalf. A lot of people comp Zay Flowers to Tyler Lockett. That's not particularly my favorite comp, but I understand it because he's an undersized receiver that has a downfield ability. Basically, a lot of these slot receivers kind of check off that box as, oh, like he's Tyler Lockett if he really hits his ceiling. But I think with Zay Flowers, for me, the thing that kind of sold it was when you look up his best comps in mockdraftable.com, one of them is Dwayne Eskridge. So Dwayne Eskridge was a receiver that the Seattle Seahawks drafted 2 years ago in the second round that they wanted to be their number three guy alongside Lockett and DK Metcalf. He obviously has not panned out with injuries, and he was just overrated coming out of Western Michigan anyway. So instead of trying to take another second round pick on a guy that may be their number three, they're just like, you know what? We have two first round picks. Let's take Zay Flowers. And I think Zay Flowers really does profile as like a Pete Carroll kind of guy. Like, you know, he was committed to going back to his senior year, and that's why he played his senior year. It's not because, oh, well, you know, he didn't declare early, so we can't use it. It's like, no, like he made a commitment to graduate and do all those things at Boston College. He didn't go to the Senior Bowl. He was at the East-West Shrine Game because he committed to it. Like, and even though it was probably in his better interest from a draft standpoint to go to the Senior Bowl, he committed to the East-West Shrine Game instead. So I think Zay Flowers is a Seattle Seahawks guy, and I have him as my number two receiver in basically all my mock drafts going to Seattle.
Because he's got that dog in him, Erickson. He's got that dog in him. You tell me Carroll isn't going to like rip off his shirt, show up in a tank top.
He was the only one that got yoked up for the combine. Every other receiver came in like super light, and then Zay Flowers like, yo. Just massive.
13 pounds, baby. Tell me him and Pete Carroll aren't going to be like doing like preacher curls like right after he gets like drafted. I'm here for it, dude. So here for it.
Well, it would be really exciting then, Debro, if Richardson did end up in Seattle. We had Richardson and Zay Flowers just workout warriors.
And DK
together.
Metcalf, we'd have like abs and like shirt off pics for days, dude. Twitter would break.
let's quickly squeeze in one last receiver here. Josh Downs, 185th in early ADP. Debro, where do you have him going?
I have him going to Indy with as much 11 personnel as Shane Steichen runs. I think that he could be the starting slot wide receiver opposite Pittman and Pierce. And Indy's kind of like the Packers of the AFC. Like outside of Pittman and Pierce, who do we have filling out this third wide receiver role? Oh, okay. Isaiah McKenzie, who's never shown that he could sit here and be a full-time player. Mike Strawn, no. Ashton Doolin, no. So I think it's going to be Josh Downs, considering the amount of three wide sets that they use. I wouldn't be high on him in his rookie season, like wide receiver four-ish type, but I think it'd be a good fit.
Erickson, what do you think on Downs?
Buffalo Bills, because I still think they need a slot receiver. And this doesn't necessarily need to be Downs. I think that when you look at this class, again, talking about how many good slot receivers there are, they don't have that guy. They really haven't been able to replace Cole Beasley. I mean, they had to bring Cole Beasley back to the roster last season because they couldn't find a slot receiver they could confidently deploy as a full-time starter. They have Gabe Davis on the outside. Obviously, Diggs, they move around the formation. They need another slot guy that can be reliable. Now, I like Deontay Hardy a ton, and I would hope that he can be that guy, but I know that he's probably just a situational player that they're going to use on jet sweeps and big plays and things like that, whereas Josh Downs can be a full-time slot player for the Buffalo Bills, like in that Cole Beasley role, which was very effective and really helped take this Bills offense to the next level. So if it's not Josh Downs, I fully expect the Bills to draft a slot receiver at some point with one of their earlier picks.
Erickson, I counter your Josh Downs with a, why do you draft Josh Downs this early when you can get a Tank Dell 2 rounds later?
Hey, man, you're talking to the team that drafted James Cook in the second round, so...
Ouch! That's fair.
There are tons of discount versions of players. Okay. It's like, why draft Jalen Hyatt when you can draft Trey Palmer? Like,
I concede. Good point.
Before we get to Bijan Robinson and the running backs, don't forget to check out our 2023 NFL Draft Guide at fantasypros.com/draft guide. We've got player profiles, prospect mock drafts, big boards, prop bet picks, sleepers, and everything else you need to stay up to date on all things 2023 NFL Draft. And it's free. Now, premium subscribers also get access to our NFL draft position rankings and our Discord, where you can interact directly with our analysts, including the dynamic duo of Debro and Erickson. If you haven't already, go premium today and check out our 2023 NFL draft guide now at fantasypros.com/draft guide. Guys, just quickly, because I saw this tweet come up, Benjamin Solak of The Ringer posted these odds from FanDuel, I believe. Bryce Young is minus 1050 to be the number one overall pick. CJ Stroud plus 750, Richardson plus 1700, and Levis plus 4000. So the tea leaves, at least in the betting markets, are certainly moving more and more towards Young being the guy at number one. The guy at number one amongst the running backs, there is no question, there is no debate. He has been called generational. It's Bijan Robinson. His FFPC overall ADP right now, not amongst running backs, overall is seventh. So the hype is certainly there for him. That is no surprise given what we saw out of him in college and what we've seen out of him throughout the draft process. Debro, how excited are you about Bijan to land where?
All right, so this might hurt his ADP in FFPC, but bolt up, baby. I want him going to the Los Angeles Chargers. Austin Ekeler is a free agent in 2024. He's going to be in the 20s, probably. I don't think that he's going to go to the Falcons, top 10. Spoiler, maybe. Kellen Moore has shown that he's willing to sit here and deploy a two-back system, and it's worked really, really well. So I want Bijan Robinson going to the Chargers because, one, this is a fantastic offense, and two, yes, Kellen Moore has also shown that he's going to sit here and ride one back. So after Austin Eckler's out of here in 1 year, you're looking at an offensive coordinator that gave Ezekiel Elliott, you know, that's Zeke, opportunity shares that rank 20th, 9th, and 5th. So bell cow Bijan Robinson in 2024. Yeah, I'm here for that.
For redraft only, Debro, what is the worst possible landing spot that you would have him ranked lowest? And the answer might be there isn't one where you would still have him high no matter what.
Gonna go none. Okay. I'm gonna take the option of none. I mean, Bijan Robinson, if you're drafting him and a team is throwing a first round pick at him, he's going to be the guy. Like, let's not just, you know, throw any kind of curveballs here. I know Austin Ekeler and I'm talking about the Chargers here, but Bijan Robinson would probably be the favorite even in that scenario to get the goal line carries.
Well, if he had to repurpose the question, not to, you know, worst landing spot, but where would you then feel, where would he have to go where you'd feel more uncomfortable? Because right now he's a top five pick. So where would you feel more uncomfortable? He's on the Patriots. You're going to draft him in the top five? Like,
if the Patriots are tossing a first-round pick at the running back position, yeah, I will.
So there's no spot where you would rank him outside your top five overall players?
No, I just said if he goes to the Chargers, I would bump him down a little bit. But, I mean, what's the floor? Regardless of any spot he goes to, what's the floor? Top 15? Yeah. Still maybe, like, hugging up the RB1 range? Maybe low-end RB1? Like, even if you send him to, like, the freaking Commanders.
I feel like he's locked into an RB1 in drafts no matter where he lands. Maybe not top five, depending on the landing spot. But his price
might be top five in that way. And if he goes to the Commanders and you have
what's
to
your worst case scenario,
picks.
Erickson? Like, what's the the doom and gloom, all like hellfire is raining down, and we're all just like, no, no, I can't draft him 101.
It's less for me about where he lands and more about the perception of the market on where he lands. Like right now he's a top five pick and we don't even know where he's going. So right now he's being drafted at his ceiling. Like there's no spot where he then is going to jump Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, right? Is there?
Okay. So if he goes to Tennessee,
I just think that I'm willing to buy the discount if he goes to a place that someone views is like, oh, like it's not that great. Like, is Dallas, like if Tony Pollard is there, like how much work does he get in Dallas? Like, does that make people come off him? Or is it just, no, we don't care. He's going to be top five pick no matter what. So I
do think it's, we don't care. He's the number one overall pick no matter what in rookie drafts. I don't think there's any landing spot that could knock, even super flex, that could knock him out of the top spot. But redraft, I think it's the more interesting question. Yeah. And Erickson, where do you have him landing?
For me, it's Falcons. Like they're not passing on him. He's going to the Falcons.
Don't think they go edge? Like,
dude,
really? Like
you're talking about a team that drafted Kyle Pitts and Drake London back years as the best offensive players on the board without any care in the world about how they're going to use them in their offense. And they're
gonna enter the Arthur Smith jokes. Is that where we're going?
And now they have a running back who they actually can use in their offense, who's going to be the best offensive player on their board, and they're not gonna take him. That's blasphemy. Like, it's so obvious for me that they're going to take Bijan Robinson. I know it's taken me a little bit of time to come around on this as we hate running backs in the NFL draft, but it's like, get it together. Like, he's a top five player on everybody's big board in the NFL. So if the Falcons get him at eight, they're going to draft him.
How many tears would you cry into your pillow about your man's Tyler Allgeier at that point?
I'm very sad about it, but I'm just like trying to be realistic. And it's like, well, you know what? He's good, but Bijan is better. Bijan's better than 95% of the starting running backs in the NFL already. So I think
maybe
that,
even higher than 95%.
Yeah. I mean, for what backfield would he go to where he's not like the RB1?
He's going to be the dude.
No, I
mean, Tennessee, like,
yes.
I don't know. That's about it.
Well, let's go to a guy that there's less consensus on, although he's the consensus number two running back in the class, and that's Jahmyr Gibbs, FFPC 48th, which is higher than I expected to see in that early best ball ADP value. Debra, where do you have Gibbs?
Oh, FFPC, baby. It's always going to be the running backs that catch passes, getting the puff and the praise, baby. So for me, I think that both where his ADP kind of, or his EDP is shifting out as far as where people are expecting to go, I think if you're looking at in the 50s and the 60s in the second round, I'm going to send him to South Beach. I think the Miami Dolphins basically brought back Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson, which are puffed up 1-year deals. So that's just giving them insulation that they didn't have to reach. But if Jahmyr Gibbs falls in their laps, Mike McDaniels has shown, and this goes back to San Francisco, they have no qualms about giving an undersized back a heavy workload. And also if you're talking about like, okay, putting Jahmyr Gibbs in a system where he's going to have a lot of wide zone. 40% of his runs last year at Alabama were out to the perimeter. The man averaged 5.8 yards per carry on those runs. So now you're going to drop him into South Beach and say, yeah, it's all good. For inside zone, up the middle stuff, we got Jeff Wilson. He can handle that. We're going to get you on the edge, and we're going to allow your 4.3 speed to eat people alive. Yeah, that'd be a really nice landing spot for Jahmyr Gibbs.
Debra, I know you and I have talked a bit about in rookie drafts, Gibbs kind of falling a bit. He's not going to fall past about pick six, but he's sort of fallen a little behind JSN and those three quarterbacks and, of course, Bijan in a lot of rookie mocks. If he lands in a place like Miami, would he still be around that six range for you, or are you bumping him up?
So I'm actually lower than consensus on Gibbs. Right now, my Superflex ranks on fantasypros.com. I've got Gibbs as the 110.
Oh, wow.
So he's my RB3 behind Charbonnet, and we'll get to the beautiful, beautiful landing spot for Zach Charbonnet here in a little bit. But if he were to land in Miami, I'd probably be bumping him up probably like to seven or eight. I'd bump him up a few spots, maybe above QJ and Addison.
Erickson, are you more in line with consensus on Gibbs?
No, not really. I think he's kind of overrated, honestly, especially in pre-draft because of he's not a bell cow back. Like he is so landing spot dependent, in my opinion.
I love you so much, Erickson. This is a great take.
Like, if he goes to a place where he has to be used as a receiver, and we talk about the skill of receiving is so much different than the usage of a receiving, because teams have to make the commitment to be like, all right, we're going to get this guy the ball through the air. And not every team does that. We see bad running backs get used in the passing game, And we see good pass catching running backs not using the passing game all the time. Josh Jacobs, it took like teams like so long to figure out, hey, like, let's throw this guy the ball.
DeAndre Swift says hi.
Like, so for me, it's where is he going to go? Is he going to get a lot of volume? He weighs less than 200 pounds. You look at the track record of fantasy running backs, like finishing top 24 that are less than 200 pounds. It's like non-existent. They just don't exist unless, and the comp for Alvin Kamara is like, well, Alvin Kamara weighs like 20 more pounds, but he's Alvin Kamara. It's not just like, okay, he's a good receiver, but he's not Alvin Kamara. So I think Gibbs is very landing spot dependent. And even though I do like the Miami landing spot, like, is that going to happen? Miami hasn't invested a lot in running backs like ever. You know, it goes back to, I think his name was like Daniel Thomas or something like that. Like the second round, Kenyon Drake, like those guys were round two and round three picks later. So for me, for Gibbs, the way I could see his ADP going to the moon is what we see all the time with these teams, Super Bowl rosters picking at the end of round one. They're like, you know, we don't really need anything right now. We can take a luxury pick, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Like if they're like, we don't want Joe Mixon, like he's out the door. They don't have Pirine. Chris Evans isn't going to be the guy. Go to an offense where we've seen Joe Burrow pepper running backs with targets. So if Gibbs is in that offense, okay, you've seen the usage before with some of these receiving backs. And if it's him then splitting time on early downs with a veteran running back that they bring in or someone else that they draft or Travion Williams or Chris Evans or whatever, you could see Jahmyr Gibbs being a fantasy factor in that Bengals offense that likes to throw the ball. And we've seen Joe Burrow target the running backs positions before. So that's my favorite spot. And the betting odds are the Bengals are second shortest odds to land him behind only my New England Patriots.
Don't say it. Oh my God. The Patriots just keep sneaking into this episode.
I don't understand why the Patriots are favored to get all these players. They have one pick.
It's because nobody knows what New England will do. If they don't trade back, well, crap, we don't know who they're going to pick. We'll just toss some odds in there.
Erickson is doing with the Patriots what I usually do with the Ravens, which is just forcing them into every possible conversation.
Pretty much. Show.
So Erickson likes the Bengals for Gibbs. D-Bro, that's where you like for Charbonnet.
You bet it, man. I think that Zach Charbonnet would be fantastic in Cincinnati. They could easily cut Joe Mixon and save 7.2 against the cap. You're looking at Joe Mixon had almost 34% of his runs up the A-gap last year. Charbonnet had 40% of his runs at UCLA last year through the A-gap. 6.5 yards per carry. That would be fantastic. Send the greased rhino to Cincinnati.
FFPC has him 86th. I assume you would go a lot higher
so
than
low.
That.
Yeah, hell yes. He'd be a top 15 back. You're talking about lockstep dropped into a system where he is not going to have to work. Chris Evans is not going to be a thing, people. Let's jettison that idea forever. So, yes, Zach Charbonnet, workhorse all day.
Erickson, where are you on Charbonnet?
I like Dallas as a landing spot for Charbonnet. Yep. Someone that I think would be a really good compliment to Tony Pollard, who we know, or at least I don't project Tony Pollard to go out and like get 300 touches. I think that they're going to keep him in his same role. I think that's the role they like him in because he's effective in that role. He doesn't need a lot of touches to get the efficiency into fantasy points because he's so explosive with the ball in his hands, but they do need a replacement for Zeke. And Charbonnet is an automatic upgrade in that because he can catch passes. He can work in pass pro, and he can run between the tackles. So he checks off all the boxes of a Mike McCarthy running back. Where he's like, Mike McCarthy, I want to run the football. Okay, how do I do that with Zach Charbonnet? And I just don't think that Bijan is going to fall to them for the Cowboys. So I think Charbonnet will be their next best bet as a round two option.
Speaking of a guy who's explosive with the ball in his hands, Devon Achane, FFPC 141st right now. Obviously, his game is built around just being the fastest guy on every field he's ever stepped on. D-Bro, where do you see him going?
Well, our colleague Pat Morris would be very, very happy with this spot. I'm going to have him going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, his expected draft position sitting in the 60s. You have Kansas City right there primed at 63 to possibly pick him. And right now, all we have is a roster of Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I'm today years old when I found out LaMichael Pirine was a Kansas City Chief. So considering this depth chart, man, KC is gone with speed backs. Pacheco has the speed. McKinnon used to have the speed. Maybe not now, but looking at how he would fit into this offense, you'd have versatility to use him in the passing game. I mean, in 2021, he was used 18% slot or out wide. He had 1.85 yards per out run. So yes, he does offer some pass game utility. I would love Achane. And I think the Twitter community, Dynasty community, everybody that has a heartbeat would go gaga over A-Chain in Kansas City.
Erickson, I'll spoil your pick here as you continue to just revamp this Houston offense.
Houston offense needs speed. Right now, guys, off the top of your head, who do you think is the fastest like skill player on the Texans?
Crap. One of their wide receivers?
No. It's Nico Collins, Damian Pierce. A lot of speed guys. John Metchie, who's coming off injuries, so we don't know how fast he is. They just don't have a lot of speed. And that's something that's important in a 49ers scheme offense. You got need zones to open up, and I think Devon Achane fits that mold, where Damian Pierce can take all the punishment between the tackles, and then they just rip off Achane on this wide-open gap, and he runs for an 80-yard touchdown on five carries. So I think Achane would be a good fit for the Houston Texans. I think overall, Achane, though, for me, look, I get that he's fast, but what's more important? That he's really, really fast, but he's also undersized, so you're supposed to be fast when you're undersized, or the fact that you'd rather have a bigger running back who can handle 20, 25 touches per game. Is that A-Chain's game? I don't really think so. So I have concerns about him from like a workload standpoint, how much volume he'll get at the NFL level.
I definitely think it's an interesting spot with the Texans. And like you said, the San Francisco offense, just you can so easily sort of see him filling that Jeff Wilson role theoretically.
Same thing.
They just always have these speed guys who don't need a lot of touches to make a really big impact. Let's get to the tight ends here to wrap up the show. We'll start with Michael Mayer, who is going 147th in ADP and FFPC. That is the highest amongst the rookie tight ends, although I don't think he's your guys' favorite tight end, at least not D-Bros, right?
No, I mean, Michael Mayer, I would have him going to the Dallas Cowboys. He is not my tight end one, but you're talking about if there's any kind of buffoon coach that would spend a first-round pick on a tight end and they'd be like, well, he can't block that well. I'm going to sit him down behind some guys. Sounds like a McCarthy thing to do, right? That's why I'm going to send Michael Mayer to the Dallas Cowboys, because Mayer is a three-down tight end. He was fifth in PFF run blocking grade ahead of, yes, even Darnell Washington last year. So I think Mayer would be a true three down guy and possibly a low end tight end one, even in his rookie season.
Erickson, where do you have Mayer ranked at the position? And also where do you have him landing
at the position in terms of my rookie rankings? I still have him number one. I mean, okay. I kind of flip flop him on him and Kincaid. I'll probably end up changing my, I really don't have a strong take on either of them to be my number one, to be honest. So that's probably why I'm going to kind of lean on landing spot with them. And my landing spot for him is Green Bay. And it's super chalky and it's probably not going to happen, because Green Bay is one of these teams. When I went back and looked at some of these past mock drafts, Green Bay is one of the teams that the consensus is always wrong about who they draft. And even last year, they took a linebacker, Quay Walker, like very earlier than anyone else thought. And then they took Devontae Wyatt when we're all like, oh, they got to draft a receiver. And then they just didn't do that. So the fact that he is such a heavy favorite makes me so much more like, oh, you know what? They're probably going to draft like Brian Branch, because everybody hates safeties and the Packers are going to draft Brian Branch instead at 15 overall. It makes sense. In my head, they need a tight end. Michael Mayer can do everything they want from a blocking standpoint, from pass catching standpoint. Now he's not super dynamic with the ball in his hands, but he just kind of checks off all of the boxes of like, he can block, he can catch, he can do all these things. And the Packers just need some bodies or some people and players to create an offense for Jordan Love to find some success.
And D-Bro, is Dalton Kincaid the guy that you have at tight end one?
Yes. Kincaid is my unquestioned tight end one. I know it sounds like I'm crazy at the moment, like, because I comped him to Travis Kelce, but I'm not alone in that, people. Okay, I'm not the only person out there saying, look, this guy moves and looks like Travis Kelce on the field, but these comparisons are real. I have him going to Cincinnati, and Zach Taylor can come out of the media and talk about, oh, we have like our tight ends to block and blah, 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 all he wants to. Okay, but your moves say otherwise, sir. Irv Smith can't block. Hayden Hurst can't block. CJ Uzoma can't block. Drew Sample can't block. This is pretty much your entire tight end roster over the last few years and right now. So you're talking about Dalton Kincaid as the best pass catching tight end in this class, bar none. He's been top 12 in basically every efficiency metric you look at tight ends the last 2 years. Yeah. Dalton Kincaid to Cincinnati and give them a real upside playmaking weapon behind Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And yes, I'm throwing some Tyler Boyd shade here, would be beautiful.
And Erickson, this is where you have Dallas taking a tight end is Kincaid, who, by the way, is 152nd in FFPC, so five spots behind Mayer.
Yeah, so I think Kincaid, I think Dallas is definitely a team that's, they're looking for pass catchers, and I think tight end, I know that Jake Ferguson, I know Pat Fitzmaurice loves the Ferg daddy, but I don't think that they feel like they can be okay with going into the season with them as their starting tight ends. You know, they were late round picks last year, and if you can upgrade on a very talented tight end class to fill the role by Dalton Schultz, we've seen Dak Prescott succeed with tight ends and those types of offenses. So I think Kincaid would make a lot of sense there, but only if Mayer's not there. Like, I think that Dallas would prefer to have Michael Mayer, because the thing with him, and I remember just watching Mayer for the first time, it's like he just screams like Jason Witten, and Jerry Jones is like, oh, baby, I get to get another Jason Witten for another 15 years with Michael Mayer. I think Jerry Jones would be like, well, that's going to be the pick. So, and I saw a report, too, that said if Mayer's on the board, like there's no way that Dallas would pass on him. So I think that if Kincaid, you know, or if Mayer was there for Dallas, I think that he would be the pick.
Now, those are the clear one and two tight ends, you know, in most rankings. And originally in our outline, that was the only two tight ends we were going to talk about. But D-Bro, you insisted that we add Sam Laporta as well.
You're damn right. We're going to talk about Sammy Ballgame. That's going to happen. Okay. I interjected that. I was like, no, we are talking about Sam Laporta. And I have him going to the Washington Commanders, which everybody could just kind of, you know, snub their noses at that type of landing spot. But let me illuminate this to you. Washington, Curtis Samuel is a free agent after this year. They could even cut him right now and save $5.8 million against the cap. You're talking about a tight end with fantastic pass game chops, great movement skills. He was seventh in yards per route run last year. He led all tight ends in man coverage targets. He was top three in every man coverage thing that you could look at for a tight end. And he now lands with Eric Bieniemy at the controls of the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sammy Ballgame to Washington.
He's 214th in FFPC ADP, by the way. So it's obviously ridiculous. That would go up if he does get the draft capital you're talking about. Erickson, where do you have Laporta?
Miami Dolphins. They need tight end. They didn't re-sign Gesicki. They traded away Hunter Long. And Sam Laporta, coming from Iowa, you have the Mike McDaniel is pretty familiar with tight ends from that school. Obviously being with George Kittle and the 49ers. Dude's a yak monster. And that's another element to this offense that he can then take advantage of with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. So I think Sam Laporta is going to be a Miami Dolphin in the second round. Book it.
And going one spot behind Laporta is Darnell Washington, 215th overall in FFPC. And once we added Laporta, Erickson, you said, well, we got to add Washington as well. So I'll start with you on him. Where do you have him landing?
Yeah, because they're both going to be going in the second round. People are going to give, there's going to be takes about Darnell Washington. Like, oh, what do I do with him now that he's on the Las Vegas Raiders? And be like, going to stay away from Darnell Washington. I think that the Raiders, again, they signed Austin Hooper. They have OJ Howard, a bunch of Jags. So you might think, oh, Darnell Washington, he'll step in. He's not competing with the best tight end in the country anymore from Georgia. Like, he can be the number one tight end there. He can be Gronk. Like, we're going to see that. People are going to be like, he's Gronk. Like, it's going to be Rob Gronkowski rookie year all over again. I'm like, no. Like, it's because of how well he's built as, like, a blocker. It's going to be problematic for him in fantasy, I think, because I don't think he's going to have a full-time role. You could definitely see a carousel with him and Austin Hooper, but I think that McDaniel is going to like a guy like Darnell Washington because he does profile like Gronk, because he can do all these different types of things, and he's a committee tight end, and that's like the kiss of death. And what's going to happen is he's going to be really efficient on his targets like he was in college, but that doesn't translate to more volume. You need volume in fantasy, and if Darnell Washington can be super efficient, then all he's going to be is Chigakonkwo, who you can probably get way later than Darnell Washington if he lands in the Raiders. So, yeah, that's my spiel on that.
First of all, there will be no Chigakonkwo slander on this show. second of all, Darnell Washington is sort of like the anti Bryce Young, right? Where he's got these unreal physical traits.
Oh, he's big and he's super athletic.
Yeah, but he hasn't produced. And so, where do you come down on him just in terms of your tight end rankings? And also, where do you expect to see him land?
He is my tight end four in this class. And I blame this on Erickson. I blame that for the last almost hour I've had to listen to New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. I blame Erickson for this landing spot through and through. And I have Darnell Washington going to Houston. I think D'Amico Ryan's going to say, well, at my time in San Francisco, I've watched a total mutant that can block like a left tackle just roam around the field in practice. Who fits this design in this class? Oh, it's Darnell Washington. So I think he's going to go to Houston in the second round. Book it. I blame this on Erickson.
That will do it for us. Hopefully you guys got enough Houston Texans talk during that show. Please remember to check out our 2023 NFL draft guide, the YouTube live stream for round one on draft night. That's next Thursday, coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. And of course, FFPC Fantasy Pros Contest, a $1 million grand prize. Check that out as well. For D-Bro and Erickson, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.